Now, the old Bible actually does not have Jeremiah through Malachi. So we had two summer students who had come. One of them came for 3 summers in a row, 3 months at a time. And they both went back as missionaries. They worked on a Bible translation to do Jeremiah through Malachi. And when they got done, they retyped the old Bible, if you will, and added their section to it and printed it. Because what happened in the process of time, the government finally came up with a new spelling and a dictionary, which they'd never had before. And we looked at it and we've looked at it and like, who wrote this thing? Because it's changed. Yahweh is a very familiar term. Hello, Yahweh. Y-O-W-K-E. The new spelling is I-A-K-I-E or something like that. It doesn't even seem to relate. So Elias says, I have to carry 2 Bibles with me. Can you get the old one reprinted? So I dug out of my barrel that was shipped up from St. Vincent. I found my old Marshallese Bible, took it to Mount Pisgah Baptist Church over in Tennessee. They work with Bering Precious Seeds. They're the original printers of the Marshallese Bible. We had some discussions, and so I took him the Bible, and he's beginning to scan it. And I have now the Old Testament of the Marshallese Bible scanned. If you have a cell phone any place in the world and you want a copy of the old Marshallese Bible PDF form, we've got it. I have John and Romans of the New Testament, and they're still working on it. When they get done, then we want to print it in a hard copy. When we were in the Marshall Islands, there was only about 12,000 people on the main island that we were on. They've moved off the outer islands because they don't have electricity, they don't have roads, they don't have good communication, and they've had a population explosion, and now there's about 40,000 of them that now live on the main island. We know of 10,000 that live in Springdale, Arkansas. We know another group in Oregon, another group in Arizona, and just recently, maybe there's 1,000 living in Asheville, North Carolina. So we have some people that we hope to contact and say, we have this old Bible. Now, I don't know if the newer generation can read the old one, but there's still a lot of old people still around, and they need to be able to get a copy of the Word of God. But 5,000 copies, $3 a piece, we need about $15,000 plus shipping. And shipping will be, I hope, inexpensive because it's still a U.S. postal system and it's still a book rate all the way out there. And we can do that. But we already have over $2,000. So if you want to contribute, hint, hint, make your check out to Tabernacle Baptist Church. That's our home church. And they've set up an account, and they will, whatever, receipt it, send you a receipt. But that's how we set it up, so that money will go through them. And when we get the $15,000, we could tell them to print. So we're kind of excited about being able to do that. I mean, this is from a long time ago. Sometimes you do things for the Lord and you have no idea what's going to be the end result. And you still don't. I still won't know. But at least we're involved, and I like being involved in things of God. Pastor said I could do something strange tonight. He said I don't have to preach on missions. And for a missionary, that's like, really? I mean, generally, that's why I'm in a church in America, to preach on missions. So I'm going to be kind of half and half, if you will. I'll talk about missions, but hopefully some things that will help you. I want you to turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Actually, we were in another missions conference, and they used verse 12, chapter 1 of Philippians, as their theme verse. And I did a little study on it, and I think it can help you out. Okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, first of all, the setting of why he writes this book. You have to realize he's sitting in a jail. And he said, I'm here for the furtherance of the gospel. I don't know about you, but that one just kind of escapes me. We are in a country where you can preach freely and don't worry about being arrested. There's a lot of countries in this world you will be arrested for preaching or handing out gospel tracts or giving out Bibles. And he says, I'm here for the furtherance of the gospel. How do you preach the gospel from a jail cell? But for him, he could see the possibilities. In fact, he worked with a common man, preached on the streets and things like that. But now he's going to have an audience of kings. He's going to have an audience of the high ups. That's the furtherance of the gospel. Only made possible because he's a Roman citizen sitting in a jail cell. And he's got guards, people of importance in a sense. They can't leave him. They're stuck. Now, several years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a heart problem. My heart just take off and do about 150 beats, 175 beats a minute. And I could be sleeping and wake up and find it that way, or I could be sitting at my computer just, wow, 150. I've been through 2 heart surgeries. But you know, in America, this is a strange country to me. First of all, they're taking me away to have heart surgery done. I've been in the hospital, I've checked in, and it got me all fixed up, and they're going down the hallway to wherever they're going to take me. You know, it's against the law in America. They can't say, Pastor Barry, you know you're going to have heart surgery, and you could die. Are you ready to meet Jesus? I mean, you'd lose your job in a heartbeat, right? Excuse me for in a heartbeat thing, right? You'd lose your job. You can laugh. This is, but they can't leave me in the hallway. So as they're moving me down the hallway, I said, I've got a Bible verse for heart surgery. And there's this little pause, and finally one said, okay, what's the Bible verse for heart surgery? Psalms 118:17. It says, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. And you know what? At that point, other things begin to come about. They begin to ask questions like, who are you and what are you doing? And I gave them the whole gospel up till the time that they put me out, put me to sleep. I wake up, they're still doing whatever they're doing. They actually send a probe up one leg and a camera up the other. Now they told me this is, well, the doctor kept talking. I stopped him. I said, doctor, wait, you keep talking about heart and surgery and simple in the same sentence. That doesn't make sense to me. How do you have heart surgery being simple? He said, well, we go up one leg in a vein with a camera. We go up the other leg with this probe, and when they meet at the heart, we find the actual part that's doing the 150. It's probably in the upper part of your heart chambers. And what it does is that when it gets the bottom half going, that's when your heart takes off. And it just does it. And he said, so when we find that part that's actually doing that, he said, we're going to electrocute it and kill it. I said, you're going to do what to my heart? You're going to kill it. Yeah, and it'll never do that again. I said, I guess it won't. So I've, you know, going to have this heart surgery. And I wake up and there's still whatever they do. I mean, I only had 2 Band-Aids when they got done. But here I am and they're still going. And I turned and looked at the nurse. I'm awake. She says, are you in pain? I said, no. She says, okay, they'll be done in a minute or two. Thank you very much. And then later I said to her, did you notice I started quoting scripture while I'm awake? She said, yeah, it was Psalms 23. I said, did you notice it was the last half? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, folks, when you talk about the furtherance of the gospel and you're in a dire strait, you may not be in a jail cell, but you may be on a gurney going into the back of an ambulance. you can witness for the Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel. In fact, when I was at my sister-in-law's house, my heart took off one of the times. And she wanted to call the rescue squad or whatever. They came, yep, your heart's doing 150. Now you need to go to the hospital. I said, fine, give me my keys, I'll drive. They said, you can't do that. And I got to call an ambulance. So an ambulance comes. And there's these, six guys, I think there were six of them, loading me into the back of an ambulance. And again, they can't say, hey, Mr. Berry, you know, for us to come, you're in a medical emergency. And with your heart, you know, you could die. Are you ready for eternity? They can't ask me those questions. But guess what? I'm on the bed and they're loading me in. I said, hey, if you swap places with me, and if you were the one going to the hospital, are you ready to meet eternity, meet God? And with that, you know, guess what? Four of them gave very clear testimony of salvation. But there was one guy who walked away, and I said, We witnessed to him. He knows he's not ready to meet God. For the furtherance of the gospel, sometimes we just think that all this is just bad, and how can God get into helping me out? He is there. And we just need to look for ways for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, the word furtherance is a word that I was looking at in this verse. It's only found three times in the Bible. It's found twice in this chapter. In this particular case, it's the first mention of the word. First mention. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a help on Bible interpretation. How do we understand the Word of God? By the way, since it was written by sheep herders, people who grew grapes, people who were fishermen, I believe the Bible was written for the common man, because it was written by the common man. And I believe with that, we ought to be able to understand a great deal of it. Now, God is somebody I can't comprehend. I try, but I can't. But by the same token, there's a lot I can understand about Him. I may not understand it all. I'm still learning. But I still believe that the common person ought to be able to understand it. And with that, you know what? There's some rules, if you will, for interpretation. One of them right here. First word mentioned. First time a word is found in the Bible, it kind of flavors how it's used elsewhere in the Bible. The first time in the Bible the word love is used is in Genesis 22, when God says, Abraham, I want you to take the son whom you love, and I want you to go, and the first time it's found, the word sacrifice is found. And so when they're doing that, Abraham tells the servants that are with them as they go, he says, My son and I will go up to the mountain and worship God and come back. First time worship is mentioned, which kind of tells me a little bit about love, sacrifice, and worship are all connected. We've got it all wrong in today's world. I come back to a worship team. I'll guarantee you Abraham and Isaac didn't have a worship team up on top of that mountain. No, sir. And they didn't have a set of drums, and they didn't have musical instruments, but they went up there to worship God. And all three are connected in the first time. This is the first time the word furtherance is used. Now, in a Greek dictionary, it's kind of an old English word. It's the idea of increasing or expanding under pressure. The idea of taking a piece of steel, getting it red hot, and then beating it with a hammer. So here is the Apostle Paul sitting in a jail cell, not his choice, I am sure. But there he is, and under the pressure of being where he's at, he probably asked himself the question, God, what am I doing here? And why am I here? And God begins to give him some answers. Now, I've written a book, and it happened after another medical issue that I had several years back. And after I survived that one, I actually sat at my desk and say, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing with my life. And I'd already started the book, but I never got it done. And God says, finish the book. Well, I did. But that was asking God, what do I do with this thing called life? And life is not over until it's over, folks. And if you're in an ambulance going to a hospital, it's still not over. And when you're in the hospital room, if you can still talk, it's still not over. And maybe at your funeral, they're still not over. That people will come and say, what kind of person was this that lived this kind of a life? The furtherance of the gospel. That even under pressure, we're going to reach out to other people. Here we find that the Apostle Paul is there, first word mentioned, and it means to stretch out. It also means to increase, or to go forward. Now, the word is found elsewhere. You're right there, Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So that's the second time that word is used. And now Paul is talking about you people, if you will. He first talking about himself and where he's at being for the furtherance of the gospel. Now he's including them. I'm going to give you the third one, and you might want to keep your hands here or mark here. We may come back. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. I'm going to keep in this chapter and work backwards probably, but I'll get back. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbyteria. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And if you are reading along with me and looking, you say, now, you told us that the word furtherance is found here. Did you notice it when we were reading? Did you catch which verse furtherance is in? Well, the King James Bible, when it was translated, the translator said, sometimes we use another English word to mean the same thing from the same Greek word. And actually the word furtherance in the Greek is found in verse 14, is given to thee by, verse 15. Give yourself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. The word profiting in the Greek is the same word as furtherance. Okay? And you could have put that in there because profiting is the idea that I've made an increase. I made a profit. How do you make a profit out of something? You take it for what it is, you add something to it and sell it for a lot more. One of the things I like to do and have done is buy things and go down to the flea market and sell them. And I'm always making money. Even when I'm making a deal, I'm making money. I mean, that's what it's about. The furtherance of what money I had and what I spent, I'm going to get more at the end. And he's saying to Timothy, there are certain things, if you do them, it will become obvious to everybody else you made a good choice. And I think there's some good things here that we ought to be looking at to say, Timothy, how do you get the gospel out to more people? Now, I need to pause. I got ahead of myself. The gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not the furtherance of money here. It's not the furtherance of your status of life, but the idea of the gospel itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Like I said, got ahead of myself. Verse 1, chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you that first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one of them born out of due time. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but in this new modern age, there's all of these, quote, worship teams. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I just kind of don't know all of them. I just know a few. And I even met one guy. He plays the drums, and he did it. He said 20,000 people at one of those worship times. So I go looking. What is the most important thing you could ever give out in your life? I don't know about you, but it's the gospel. You can build the biggest structure that you want to build, but when the sun quits shining and the moon is no longer and this earth no longer exists and we're in an eternity future, that building will be gone. The same with a car, a plane. If you can touch it, it's just not going to last. But if you lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ and they get saved, when eternity is going on for billions of years, they'll be there with you. They'll be there with you. And so it's one of the best things that you can ever do is to give out the gospel. And so I start checking out the few music groups that I've encountered or know about, etc. And you go to the website and you would think the most important thing is giving out the gospel. And it ain't there. And you can double check me if you want to. But I don't care which group it is. It's selling all these CDs, records, and yada, da, da, da. The gospel is not on their website. And I say, what? Listen, folks, that's the most important thing we can do. So we got to defend. We got to define the gospel. And I even found another guy who's connected with another group. And he gives out the gospel, and it's not what we just read. It's just talking about changing the community, helping out the poor, things like that. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we ought to give it out because that's the furtherance of the gospel. I'm not going to have time to give you a lot of the scriptures that I've got, but in the Old Testament, there's a reference, Isaiah 43, 10 through 11, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Isaiah 7, 14, he's going to come. He would be born of a virgin. Psalms 22 is a 14 verses 14 through 18 give a pretty clear picture of a crucifixion from a person who's being crucified thousands of years before the Roman Empire ever existed or devised that way to crucify people. Psalm 16 and verse 10, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Old Testament. There's a little bit of a challenge here. I remember one time on door-to-door visitation talking to a lady. I'm a Jew, and I don't follow nothing of the New Testament. How do you give her the gospel if she's not going to listen to you when you give Romans Road? How are you going to give a gospel to a Jew? They don't want to hear the New Testament. That's a challenge. But it can be done. It can be done. Because if you read, Paul a lot of times gave out the gospel from the Old Testament. These are the things that Paul wants them to give out is the gospel for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, for Timothy, I want to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. How does a person profit themselves? How does a person further the gospel? First of all, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. by the way, we take that as a really young guy, but he probably was about age 40, according to history, okay? But even that, what about a youth? I sometimes wonder, are we really training young people like we ought to? And let me put that in perspective. How old was Jesus when he went in the temple and started talking with the scribes and the Pharisees? He was what? 12 years old. How many 12-year-olds do you know this Bible well enough to sit and talk with some trained men, even in a cult group or something like that, and say, thus saith the Lord from the Word of God? And when we say, I don't know anybody like that, then something needs to be more of a challenge somehow. Be honest with you. When you got to be 13 as a Jew, as a boy, you generally had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Word perfect. The furtherance of the gospel, and no man despise thy youth. He says, give attendance, verse 13, to reading. Public reading, even. Do you read the Bible? I remember when I was 12 being challenged, and that was the first time I can remember reading the Bible. No, I didn't do well when it came to the genealogies, and I couldn't tell you all that I learned, but I remember having a schedule and sitting down and actually reading it. Now, let me challenge you because of something I've read recently. You can read 3 chapters, 4 chapters a day, whatever, Old Testament, some in the New, and get through in a year. The challenge is sit down and read an entire book nonstop. Now, that's easy in the Minor Prophets. That's easy, you know, in some of these little books. Gets a little tougher with Jeremiah and Isaiah. But try to read the whole book at one time with one sitting. Matter of fact, I got another one for you. And Brother Gibbs with Christian Law Association, years ago, I heard him on tape. And finally, one day down in St. Vincent, I said, I'm going to challenge you to read through your Bible 1 year. I'm going to take the challenge 1 month. 1 month. Now, immediately, you know what happens? They said to me, Pastor, you've got all day. You know, you can sit there and read all day. I said, I'll tell you what. Before 7 o'clock in the morning, I can read. After 7 o'clock, I won't count. I may study, but I'm not going to count. And by the time you get home at night, it's 6, 7 o'clock for some of you, so it'll be after 7 o'clock at night. And many times I've found out myself reading after 8 o'clock at night. And you know what? In 1 month, I had 3 or 4 days left over. I'd finished the entire Bible. And what was amazing when I did that was that from at the ending of this thing, I couldn't see something or hear something without a Bible verse coming to mind. Everything was filtered through the Word of God. And if you've never done it, put the TV aside, forget the internet, put the cell phone down, and read in 1 month the entire Bible. Here, Timothy is being told, give attendance to reading because that's very important. How can you give out something that you do not know? How can you defend a faith that you have no idea where those verses are found? I challenge you to know what's there just by reading. And reading is different than studying. Studying is different than meditating. Meditating is different than actually putting it into practice. Give to reading. To exhortation, the idea of encouraging other people to be reading. Call up your friend. Are you reading? I'm reading. Where are we reading? Exhortation. And to live right, to do right. Timothy, that's what you need to do with your life. And to doctrine. I came back and got around some people that I knew in our home church. And where's this young man going now? He's just got out of high school and he's at the what? Methodist church. Now, I don't really hold anything against the Methodist, but I do know what I believe is different than what they do. And if you don't believe that, ask yourself, why have they got a sign Methodist on their church and we got a sign Baptist on ours? There is a thing called doctrine, the teachings of the Word of God. And these new churches, the Journey Church, the Community Church, what do they believe? I don't know. But evidently for Timothy, the idea of knowing your doctrine is important. Now, I'm just happen to be a Baptist, so I think Baptists, you ought to know everything about baptism. Now, the old-fashioned way, I know you can look it up on a cell phone, you can look it up on a computer, but I like a strong concordance in writing, because if I forget about John the Baptist's head, I won't be looking it up. Okay, so they got all of it. There's about 102 verses. 102 verses. You can sit down probably in 2 hours and read all of the 102 verses. And then you begin to realize what baptism is all about. It means to plunge, to dip, to immerse. It's a Greek word brought into the English language. It's not an English word at all. And it means plunge, to dip, to immerse, not to sprinkle. It's the idea of actually putting into. And you ought to know that. And if you don't know that, why don't you know that? Does it make a difference? Evidently it does, because he's saying to Timothy, you need to give attendance to what you believe, to the reading, to exhortation, and then to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And I think that's preaching for Timothy. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Think these things through. Because at the end, people will say, you've changed. There's something different about you. You know, sometimes they make a lot of fun of Christians. I remember my pastor, Voss, told me, he said, you know, there was this guy, he said, we couldn't stand him on Monday. He would come in and he'd been in church on Sunday and he's singing and he's talking about the Lord. And he said, nobody wanted to be near him. And he said, by about Wednesday, he would kind of calm down enough, you know, we could kind of associate with him. Then he'd go to church Wednesday night, and we couldn't take him on Thursday. And he said, we made fun of him all the time. He said, until my marriage started falling apart, and he's the first guy that I went to. And from that, I got saved, my wife got saved, changed our entire marriage. Your spending time in the Word of God, your time of exhortation to give out, we ought to obey these things, is well worth it. We may not see all of the results of it, but that's one way to see people saved. Take heed unto thyself, verse 16. Yep, in the process of being a missionary and a pastor, I had a missionary come. I've actually had a couple of times this has happened. Brand new missionary to the mission field, and I look him right in the face. I said, what's your day off? He says, no, got to give out the gospel. I said, no, what's your day off? You can't always give it out. You've got to take it in sometimes. And you need a day off just to kind of recharge your batteries. Take heed unto thyself. Sometimes you have to do that. And again, unto the doctrine. That's important. What's salvation all about? Is it just, as some people think, baptism or something else? Here he writes to Timothy, take these words and use them and do them, and you will then, people will see. It has been a wise decision on your part. I'm not addicted to any drugs. I'm not suffering from withdrawal symptoms. You make all kinds of good decisions. Generally, you come out pretty good. You make bad decisions, you end up pretty bad off, quite frankly. Now, I want to go back to Philippians. I'm almost done. Philippians chapter 1. To Timothy, he says, do these things. So here, I'm going to say, you do these things. Because down in verse 25, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith. This is personal. He's writing to them from a jail cell. We wouldn't have had most of the Bible if he wasn't there. But as he's writing to the Philippians, he's saying, it is profitable for you, and you need to know that. Individually, check yourself out. I need to check myself out. How much do we really spend in the Word of God? Can we sit down and counter a cult? Can we sit down and show somebody how to be saved? One of the things that I did in the Marshall Islands and I've done in St. Vincent, we get to talking to some religious person. I just hand them a Bible and I say, show this person next to you how to get to heaven. And every time I've done that, it's like, I don't think I can do that. And my answer is, if you can't show somebody else how to get to heaven, how do you think you're going to get to heaven? And that to me is a simple starting point. You ought to know how to do that. That ought to be beginning. But the idea is you spiritually mature. The more you read, the more you meditate, the more you study the Word of God, it's going to be obvious to other people. And maybe you get more excited about serving the Lord because it's all there. We find that Paul is not only saying his imprisonment is for the furtherance of the gospel. He says your devotion to God is for the furtherance of the gospel. For Timothy, he gave him, if you would, some stepping stones to learn to be good for the furtherance of the gospel. The idea that we do serve a God who loves us. The idea we can explain that to somebody else who has never seen our God, if you will, have no idea what we know. Can we do it? And that's a missionary story, if you will, but that's what we do on the mission field. We take tracts, we hand them out, we witness to people one-on-one. I can do some things there that you cannot do here. The Gideons who cannot hand out Bibles in this country come down to St. Vincent, hand them out in the schools down there because the law has changed. In this country, a teacher would lose her job if they called everybody together and pledge allegiance to the flag. No. How about devotions and pray and read the Bible? You'd get fired in a hurry. Down there, they do that. The head teacher calls the whole school together and they'll pray and they will sing songs and read scripture. Folks, we're losing it, slowly but surely. It's a mission field out there. Just go out and look around you. This is just kind of an amazing thing. I tried something new I've never tried before, and I'm just going to leave you with this. I was in a business establishment, and I got to talking to some lady, and she was a retired school teacher, English school teacher. I said, I've got a Bible verse. I've been looking for somebody to diagram. I can't remember that far back how the diagram sentences, you know, the prepositional phrases and all of that. I looked the verse up and I handed it to her on my cell phone. She said, I don't know if I can do that. I said, well, I can't do it. Can you? You said you were an English teacher. And then she's like, I think I better go back and read that. I have no idea what her theology was or where she was, but customers came, so we had to leave. But she will remember, here's a guy wanting to diagram a Bible verse. Hey, there's different ways to witness. Just try them. And if ever you're on a hospital bed and they're taking you down for heart surgery, you can witness to them. The furtherance of the gospel, even under the pressure of a hammer hitting a piece of steel to lengthen it, we can still be a witness. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you again for being able to teach it and preach it here. And we pray that people would really get serious about serving you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.